for that prayer. And I would like to say for our church property, I was out there Tuesday a week ago, and it was the most beautiful sky that I've ever seen. It was turquoise, azure, with the white clouds. And that night, after I got home in Lexington, it was the most beautiful sunset that Mary and I have ever seen. And also, while I was out at the property, I didn't realize that there was a ridge that you could see. And you really don't notice it. Well, I've been out at the property many times, but all of the trees were blocking that. So, you know, maybe we could name it the Beautiful View Seventh-day Adventist Church, because it's a beautiful view there. If you still have your Bibles open at John 17 and the scripture reading, I wonder how many noticed or counted the many times that it says, one, that Jesus is one with the Father. And if we are one with Jesus, then we're one with the Father. Are you counting? Or did I need to tell you? Well, there's four, and you're forgiven. But if there's four times in one verse or one chapter, it must be very important, right? Now, what does "at one" mean? Unity. Thank you. So we need to be in unity, but we need to understand that we need vertical unity first. Yes. And foremost before we have horizontal unity. Amen. And that's with each other. But we can have unity with each other and it not be the unity that we have with the Father. Amen. And with Jesus. So where do we get that unity from, folks? Yes, the Holy Spirit. We get that unity from Jesus and from the Father through the Holy Spirit. And we do what to get it? We pray. We pray for it. And if we pray for it, He will give it to us. I don't know how many. I still call it the good old review, but it's called Adventist World now because we are worldwide. And we have visitors, and this is not the only Adventist that we have. We are worldwide. And I read the article with interest that the General Conference President, Elder Jan Paulson, but before I read that to you, if you didn't read it, and you should have it because it's given out to every member, the reason I chose this name, a uniter or a divider. You may remember in 2000 that our president, George W. Bush, ran on that he was a uniter and not a divider. Now, you're going to have to judge whether he lived up to that or not. But our General Conference world leader, Elder Jan Paulson, and he is from your countries over there, so we call it Paul, but you call it Jan, or I call it Jan here, but now you know. And he spoke on unity, and that caught my eye, and I read it several times. And we do, if you're not familiar, each year in October or November, we have annual council. That's where the leaders from all over the world come to the General Conference, which is right outside of Washington, D.C. And they have this annual meeting to try to hold this church together. And I've had people, I came from another church that was a lot more members than this, and they said, well, we're just not growing. But look at the world church, there's thousands, literally thousands that are coming into the Adventist church every day. So it's a monumental task to keep it going in the direction that it should go. So my hat's off to Elder Paulson. And what he said, we are bonded in unity. Now what does bonded mean? We are welded together in unity. Or that's the way it should be. And I have watched on the television of modern, I forgot. But it's about the newest things that are on the market. Modern marvels. And they have adhesives, they have welding type things that just will weld something together and hold millions and thousands of pounds. So he said, we are bonded together. He said the consistent message of Scripture, the writings of Ellen G. White, and from Adventist history, is that God wants this church to stay united. Maybe the walls will say amen. Amen. Please say amen. We need to stay unified. Unified in unity on what? And we will come to that. 29 years ago, shortly before his retirement, another General Conference president by the name of Robert H. Pearson spoke at another annual meeting of world leaders in 1978. And he was very concerned of what he saw that was coming into the remnant church. He served in that capacity longer than any other General Conference president, except one of our pioneers, A.G. Daniels, and he is credited with authoring more than 28 books and hundreds of articles. He made an earnest appeal to the church leaders at that meeting. He said, already, brothers and sisters, there are subtle forces. Now, this is 1978. How many were Seventh-day Adventists in 1978? Praise the Lord. But there are a lot of you that were not. So, something was stirring in the church at that time. And I praise the Lord that we had a leader that dealt with it. There are subtle forces, he said, that are beginning to stir. Regrettably, there are those in the church who belittle the inspiration of the Bible. Have mercy. Who subtly and not so subtly attack the spirit of prophecy. Have mercy again. You cannot believe the Bible without believing the spirit of prophecy.
Amen. That's right.
That's exactly right, because Jesus is the author of the scripture and the spirit of prophecy. There are those who wish to forget the standards of the church we love. There are those who covet and would court the favor of the evangelicals. I have seen that actually take place after 1978.
Yes.
And it was devastating to the church. Many people that I knew personally And I tell you, folk, here is the reason for study when you think you don't even need it. Because I saw something coming into the church at that time, but could not identify it until finally it was obvious what was going on. And by the time you tried to attack it, not attack it, but help those that had fallen into it, they had already gone into something else. So this is why we need to study now ahead of time, that when something comes into the church, red flags will go up. And you say, brother, sister, let's talk. And not be behind the curve. Those who would throw off the mantle of a peculiar people. Now, we are a special people. Now, peculiar says there's a little something wrong with you. That's not the case. At least I hope that's not the case with everyone, speaking of myself. But, and those who would go the way of the secular, materialistic world. Fellow leaders, he says, beloved brethren and sisters, don't let it happen. Now, what did he see? Now, this is Elder Pearson. What did he see that concerned him so much? He didn't divulge what it was. But 10 or 12 years later, Elder Oliveira, I hope I pronounced that right, he's from Brazil. He was a senior vice president for 10 or 12 years. Now, that was 1978. In 1990, he spoke at the annual council in Indianapolis just before the general conference session. He spoke at the Theological Society at that time. And he compared what Elder Pearson said many years before as the Trojan horse of liberalism. So he nailed it down. So what is liberalism? And I looked it up in the dictionary to see exactly what it says. And here's what it said. Not restricted to the literal meaning. So people that are liberals do not have to stick strictly with what the Bible says. They can say it could mean this or it could mean that. As a literal construction. And it says that they are independent. So that's what a liberal is. Now, liberals are not bad people. In fact, I know two liberals that are the nicest people to talk to. I love to talk to them. They are professional salespeople. But yet, they believe things that are not according to the Scripture or the Spirit of Prophecy. In fact, I don't know if they'd ever crack a book of the Spirit of Prophecy. I meet them occasionally down in Columbia, and they're like long-lost brothers. They're the kindest, nicest people that I know. But one thinks it's perfectly all right, after Sabbath, to go home and have a little glass of wine and maybe a can of beer and think nothing of it and watch football games that afternoon. But yet, they do not believe our fundamental beliefs in many areas. The other is into futurism, and we don't have time to go into that, but that has diverted from our established beliefs. Yeah. In fact, when I run into one or the other, we talk a while. It is very refreshing. But yet, I know what they believe, and I know that it is error. I went to a funeral, and one of them was presented the eulogy, and he has a silver tongue. And he raised his hands and says, "Folks, this is to a Seventh-day Adventist church. Why can't we just get along?" And I almost got up and went up and shook his hand. But it's error. But yet it's presented so beautifully that you just want to go up and shake his hand. But we can't. We have to stay with the Scripture. Amen. Let me read something from the Spirit of Prophecy. It's in Our High Calling. It's a book. Page 329. It says, "Jesus prayed that his followers might be one, that they might be united. But we are not to sacrifice the truth in order to secure that union." Amen. As much as we want to. We have to say brother, sister, and I don't try to talk theology with them because I've tried it in the past. But yet I love them. I mean, I will stop and talk with them as long as they'll listen. Well, I listen too to what they have to say. So people that we have differences with it, we believe from the Scripture and Spirit of Prophecy, are not living up to that standard, we can still love them, can't we?
Yeah.
And we can still be nice to them, and we can still pray for them.
Yeah.
"For we are to be sanctified." And what does sanctified mean, folks?
Set apart
for, do what?
Yes,
yeah, set apart for a holy purpose. And we can all be sanctified through the what? The truth. Here is the foundation of all true peace.
Amen.
Now, folks, you can take that to the bank.
Amen.
If you don't have peace, this is the way you get peace.
Amen.
No matter what anybody says, it won't ruffle your feathers. If you're rooted and grounded in the truth, no matter what anybody says, you can still look them in the eye and love them.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be rattled if you study and know the truth. All right. "Men who would try to effect unity, listen, through concession to popular opinions, through compromise with the world, a sacrifice of vital godliness, but truth is God's basis for the unity of His people." Thank you.
Amen.
These walls are going to cry out here in a minute if y'all don't. Because if you know how long it took me to get this together, you would hold up my hand. If you'll take your Bible, now it's your turn, folks. If you'll take the Bible and turn to Timothy, the second chapter, 2 Timothy 2:15. I'll get it right here in a minute. 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, where do we come in dividing? So you see, it's not wrong to be a divider if you do it right. And you may have this experience. I know I had a brother. He was younger than me. So when there was one piece of cake left or one baby Ruth left and we would squabble over it, My mother would say, okay, here's a knife. You divide it. That means you cut it in two. And then your younger brother gets first choice, first pick. So, you know, if I had the knife in my hand, it was going to be right in the middle. So we need to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, back to Elder Oliveira and liberalism. He compared it with liberalism with the, he used the analogy of the Greek Troy War. If you remember, the Greeks brought 100,000 soldiers to surround the city of Troy. Now, back in those days, they didn't have the weapons that we have now. They had to knock the walls down. They were unable to do that. They were there for 10 years. And that's the way they used to win, is they would just starve them out. If they didn't have a water supply or a food supply, they could just surround the city. It's what they did in Bible times also, and just starve them out. But it didn't work. They were there 10 years and could not even make a dent in that city. So they decided to do something else. This was stealth back in the old days. What did they do, folks? Yes, you know the story. They had a carpenter to make this huge horse. They called it the Trojan horse and put soldiers inside. And for no apparent reason, at least for those in the city, they just withdrew. They just pulled their troops back. Went over the hill, gone. So curiosity got the better of them. And they said, I wonder why they left that horse. So you know the story. They opened the gate and they let it in. And this is what this elder was talking about, and Elder Pearson was talking about. We are safe until we open that door and allow something to come in that changes our beliefs. And that's what has happened, folks. I am not talking about Aiken. I'm talking about our worldwide church. Yeah. The church that I love. The church that I plan to stay with until the Lord takes me. I love this church. So after dark, after the curiosity seekers went to bed, the soldiers just opened up and opened the gate, and they came in and they destroyed the city. And this is exactly what Satan is trying to do by bringing in error into God's remnant church. Right. In fact, they don't even like the word remnant. They say that's elitist. But what does remnant mean? The very last church. This is the very last church that God has. And it will triumph without a doubt. But it may appear is about to fall. But it won't. Now, the sinners in Zion may be sifted out. But the church will go through. And that's a promise. Again, I will say we must have vertical unity with God before we can have horizontal unity from the Word of Truth. We cannot diverge from our, I was going to say 27 because my book says 27 fundamental beliefs. I haven't bought a book that's got the 28th one in there. But maybe I can get by with 27 before I think to upgrade. But we need to take that book, and I read who compiled it years ago, and I respect it was many, many men and women that helped compile the 27 or 28 fundamental beliefs. And I have here, but I don't have time to read it all. But it gives our entire beliefs worldwide. We are a united church. Now, folks, just be reasonable. If you were Satan the devil, where would you be and who would you be attacking? Sure, God's church. God's church. We just heard from the children's story. We got it over the computer about Madeline O'Hara, if that's her name, trying to get prayer out of the schools. And Adventists are saying, oh, no, we shouldn't do that. Really, folks, if you study it, we believe in the separation of church and state. Now, what are the schools run by? The state. So we don't want a prayer in public schools. Now, I know I sound like a heretic, but you think about it. Because they may have a prayer in there that we don't agree with. So we want to keep, and we've had presidents, and we had one that was very popular, but he fell, and he's coming back, or at least his wife's coming back. He was for the separation of church and state. And the country was very profitable at that time. He left a surplus of like $3 trillion, and now we're that much or more in debt. The church, and that's us, and this is from Selected Messages, and I'll close with this. Selected Message, Book 2, page 396. The church, and I'll repeat it, that's us. We are the church. Enfeebled, do you feel enfeebled? Well, if you don't, please tell me how you cannot feel enfeebled and defective, needing to be reproved, warned, and counseled, is the only object upon earth upon which Christ bestows his supreme regard. Amen. With that statement, why would you ever fear what's coming upon us? Never. That's easy to say because we're not being threatened. But when it comes, we can go to that. He will keep us safe. So to end, stay with the church. Now we prayed for my sister-in-law. My brother left the church. He's still out. Through this, I pray that he will remember his upbringing, his teaching, and that he will come back. Because I believe the time is very near that we are going to have to make a decision as to what we're going to do. And I'm trying my best to find the closing song. It always evades me. But it's page 608. Faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in this church. Because this is the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. The real church of Jesus Christ. So if we have our chorus to come up. Because I don't sing. And I hope when I get to heaven, I'll be able to sing.